Earth. Welcome to my fourth episode. I am your host, Rosie. I will be here to discuss Bruce again. I promise I'll talk about more than the boss, but I have an upcoming interview on Setlisting Bruce podcast by Jesse Jackson tomorrow, and I want to make sure I had a decent amount of Bruce content on my channel in case someone came and checked it out after they hear that podcast. So, I'll share the link on my Instagram and Facebook when that podcast comes out, so y'all can listen to it. But we're talking about the boss again today. I promise there will be somebody besides Springsteen next week, so Scout's Honor, it's not just a Bruce channel, though it'd be totally cool if it was too. I could talk endlessly about Bruce, in case y'all hadn't figured that out yet. Anyways, before I launch into the ramble, I want to discuss the man behind my back, Glaring Menacingly, who is actually really one of the coolest, nicest people I've ever heard of that's famous, Mr. Van Zandt, who is up for induction to the Radio Hall of Fame. He's up for induction. He's a nominee. So y'all should really go to, like, I believe it's radio.vote.com or radiovote.com. If you Google search, like, Radio Hall of Fame vote or Radio Hall of Fame Stevie Van Zandt, it should come up. Go vote for him. He deserves this. He's been doing the Underground Garage show for about 20 years now, and it's phenomenal. I've been marathoning through the archives. I'll probably share that link on my Facebook page sometime this week, so y'all can do the same, because they're really good and they're funny. His little excerpts in between songs are either very informative or very funny, or both. So he really deserves this induction, and so if y'all go vote for him, hopefully he'll get in. I have my t-shirt on to support my vote for president. I mean, Radio Hall of Fame. So go vote for Stevie Van Zandt, and now that I've got that totally unpaid for, unprompted, voluntary promotion out of the way, let's dig into Bruce. Today's topic relating to the boss is about his songs that other people have covered, but not like outright covers. So his outtakes, songs that Bruce never released on an album that other people covered. I think covered is still the correct term, even though they weren't formally released. And made, quite often made hits out of. So we'll start with the highest charting of those. The highest charting cover of Bruce, period, goes to Manfred Mann's cover of Blinded by the Light. But the highest charting cover of a Bruce outtake goes to those lovely ladies from California, the Pointer Sisters, who are an inspiration and just phenomenal ladies with beautiful voices. I have always loved their stuff, whether it's Slow Hand or Jump In, and their cover of Fire is no less high quality. And it's really astonishing when you realize that, like, these ladies in the 70s were, like, young mothers, young married mothers. So they were running a family life and slowly building a career that really took off in the 80s, this being one of the songs that helped them do so, because it charted all the way up to number 2. So that being the case, they took it, they made it beautiful. I enjoy the Bruce version, which you can find on The Promise, which is a collection of outtakes from Darkness on the Edge of Town, which you will find a lot of outtakes from Darkness on the Edge of Town in this ramble. The amount of prolificness that Bruce was doing in his career around Darkness is just mind-blowing. Because it's not just all the songs that are on The Promise, which include Fire, but it's songs that you find out that he wrote around Darkness that ended up on later albums, like Independence Day and Drive All Night, which are two of my favorite songs off the river, were written around the era of The Promise. So was Darlington County, which is one of my favorite songs of Born in the USA, because he's singing about the South, and Bruce doesn't sing about the South often, so I have to cling to it when he does. But that aside, I don't know that Bruce has ever been more prolific before or since than he was around that lawsuit era of, you know, writing Darkness on the Edge of Town and all the gajillion outtakes. Going on to another of the gajillion outtakes from Darkness on the Edge of Town, we have the beautiful and well-known Patti Smith version of Because the Night. She actually finished up the lyrics because Bruce, this song was recorded on like the first day of recording for Darkness on the Edge of Town, and Bruce wrestled with it for 4 months and just couldn't get lyrics. Like, if you listen to the, I think it's like a demo tape, I think you can find on YouTube, or if it's at least in the documentary on the making of Darkness on the Edge of Town, I think. Either way, you can find it where Bruce is sort of messing around with it, and he does not have much lyrics going other than some general mumbling. I don't mean to be mean, but that's pretty much what it is. And so he gave it to Patty at the behest of his engineer, Jimmy Iovine, who had recently started up his career. He would go on to do many other things, like help engineer not just Patti Smith and Bruce, but U2 and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And you know those headphones that every kid wants for Christmas? Those Beats? Dre was not the only person. The co-founder of Beats was Jimmy Iovine. So he really is as cool as Bruce sings about him being. In the song Ain't Good Enough for You, which is also an outtake of Darkness on the Edge of Town. Could do a year's worth of episodes just on the outtakes from Darkness, and I don't even think I'm being dramatic with that statement. So, Because the Night, covered beautifully by Patty with lyrics that she finished up in a touching love song to her husband, Fred Sonic Smith, who is sadly no longer with us. And that's Because the Night. It's well known. The Patti Smith version is well known. I came to know the song through the MTV Unplugged 10,000 Maniacs version with Natalie Merchant singing it. I slightly prefer Natalie Merchant's version to Patti's, but there would be no Natalie Merchant version without Patti Smith's version. Gotta give credit where it's due. And I also really enjoy the renditions of it that Bruce has done, especially on the 1978 tour. I have the Winterland concert from, I believe it's December 15th of that year. It's around Christmas time, I know that. And it's either the 15th or the 16th. I think I have the 15th concert off of brucespringsteen.net, I think is where you can download those concerts. I've gotten a couple there. And the guitar intro for Because the Night at that Winterland concert that I have is, I do not know how to put it into words. There is no word big enough to capture the majestic intensity, insaneness that is that guitar intro. Even my dad, who is not a Springsteen fan, and kind of like gives me heat for being a Springsteen fan, was like, "Who's playing guitar?" And I was like, "This is a Bruce song." And he's like, "I didn't know he could play guitar that well." And I was like, "Yes, he can." So I got to put one up on my dad on this one in the defense of Bruce, because the guitar playing is that good. It's, I can't express it in terms big enough to explain how good that version of Because the Night is with the really, it's my ringtone. Put it that way. I love it so much that I don't mind hearing it every time my phone goes off. Unless it's my clients. My clients, it's She Works Hard for the Money by Donna Summer. But I love that version so much. I love a good guitar solo, and I don't know that there's a better one out there by Bruce. It's really good. So, Because the Night, done beautifully by Patti Smith. Done very well by 10,000 Maniacs, and done very well live by Bruce. I mean, it's good on the Promise outtake box set too, but live is, in my opinion, the best way to listen to Bruce playing Because the Night, especially on that 78 tour. And so the next song up is also covered by a female, and it's not a true outtake. It's a B-side, but I decided to put it on there anyways because I love it. So that would be Pink Cadillac, one of my favorite favorite Simple Bruce songs. Like, it sounds like some fun, 60s upbeat pop song, even though Bruce wrote it in the 80s. It's the B-side for Dancing in the Dark. So you have my favorite song that made it on the album and my favorite song that didn't. And it was initially sort of kind of offered, or Bette Midler was gonna cover it, and Bruce sort of heard her version and wasn't super fond of it, so he decided not to let her have it, but did allow her to perform it live. However, the more successful cover, which I believe charted somewhere in the top 20, would be Natalie Cole, daughter of the wonderful jazz pianist and beautiful singer Nat King Cole. And Natalie, like I said, took it somewhere in the teens, I think, charted around like number 13. I think I may have written it down, but I'm not sure. Oh, number 5, excuse me. It charted in the top 5, not, the top 20. It was Patti Smith's cover because The Night charted at number 13. I got those numbers swapped. But, so Natalie Cole took her upbeat, fun cover, which I enjoy almost equally to the Bruce version. It's hard to say. I knew the Bruce version first, so it's Bruce, so it's always gonna have a special place in my heart. But the Natalie Cole version is really, really good too. So that is Pink Cadillac. Bringing on the next song, which is another sort of not quite total outtake. Whereas the other one was technically released as a B-side with Pink Cadillac, You Mean So Much to Me is not on any box set. It is not in tracks, and it is not on like a box set of outtakes from Greetings from Asbury or Wild and the Innocent, which is about the time this song was being done. It was written in late 71, I think. No, it was later than that, my bad. I think it was written in like 73, and there's a demo you can find on YouTube. It's in a playlist, which I'll put in the link to this de in the descrip I'll put a link in the description to this video. And you can listen to it. It's all the songs that I mention, and sometimes a couple others. Like, sometimes there's a live version as well as the studio outtake version. Anyways, You Mean So Much to Me was never really put as an outtake, but it was done beautifully by Southside Johnny with a special guest who Bruce sort of pulled strings, arranged whatever he had to do to get there, the one of the first ladies of rock and roll, in my opinion, Ronnie Spector, sings a duet with Southside, and it's probably my favorite song off of Southside Johnny's first album. It's so good. And it's so upbeat. It's the sort of song that if you could sing and your fiance could sing, y'all would sing this to each other at your wedding. Like, it's that sort of just cheery, upbeat, romantic, glorious song. And we have Bruce to thank for it, as we have to thank for many glorious, upbeat, beautifully romantic songs. This one he never did himself, other than as a very rough demo or outtake, sort of. The recording has a lot of studio chatter, so I'm not quite sure what you'd call it, but the Bruce recording does. Southside Johnny version is perfection, which I'm gonna use the photo either at the beginning or the ending of this video. There's a very hilarious picture of some of the band and Stevie Van Zandt and Ronnie Spector, and Stevie's being ridiculous, and it's hilarious looking. I don't know what the context was, and I want to know. So you'll get that picture somewhere with this video too, probably at the end. And you get to see the lovely Ronnie Spector as well. And the next three songs I will discuss all relate to that song, as in they are all Southside Johnny covers of Bruce Springsteen songs that were outtakes. The first one of those being, sorry, my brain is a little tired. The Fever. Sorry, had to remember. I knew I had three and I had an order I wanted to do them in. But The Fever, which Bruce wrote around 1971, late 71, so it's a very early Bruce song. And Southside's version is beautiful, and I believe Clarence Clemons makes an appearance on backing vocals in Southside's The Fever. I'd have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that is the case. So you have the big man showing up on this record, and it's since been a staple of Southside shows. So he's, while he didn't make a hit out of it, he made it his own. Though yet again, going back to that Winterland concert in 1978, I believe it's on the 15th as well, Bruce does a really sultry. Sultry is the best and most polite word I can come up with for Bruce's version of The Fever from that Winterland concert. The Winterland concerts may have happened at Winterland in the middle of December, but that song makes it sound like it's the sticky heat of August right now. Like, doesn't matter how cold it is. My state froze last, this past February. It did not feel frosty whenever the fever came on. I had a fever. And I like it because, at least especially with the Bruce version and the pacing of it, it kind of gives me reminiscent vibes to He Gives Me Fever, which I think Nina Simone did. I may be incorrect. It was a jazzy black female vocalist, and I want to say it was Nina Simone. And so it's sort of like the male version of Nina Simone's The Fever. This is the male perspective. Not the same song at all, but they're both called The Fever, and they both have a very sultry vibe to them, especially Bruce's version. Southside's is decently sultry, but I think it's that aspect of sort of Bruce, like, sings from deeper than the heart. Like, he's always like in his guts when he's singing, so there's so much more passion to his songs, at least in my opinion. Which the same is true for the next song, which is Hearts of Stone. Hearts of Stone, to me, the Southside version is good. It's beautiful, it's polished, it's soulful, it's an actual album cut, which means it has a little bit higher production quality than an outtake. But Bruce's version off of Tracks is just gut-wrenching. Like, the song is so heartbreaking lyrically, anyways, because it's almost worse when a song is like both parties kind of miss each other versus something where it's just, I love you and you don't love me, or vice versa. And Hearts of Stone is just, it can wreck you. It will make you cry. It is really the definition of bittersweet. Like, bittersweet in the dictionary needs a picture of the Hearts of Stone, album cover, I guess. Or just have it play as a track whenever you look it up on dictionary.com. It's like, here, for definition of bittersweet, listen to this song. It's really what dictionary.com needs to do when you look up bittersweet. And Bruce's version especially, because he sings so from the gut. I can't think of any other way to say it. Like, I'm not saying his voice is better than Johnny's or anything like that, but he's just got a tenacious passion to his vocals very quite often, and especially with Hearts of Stone, which just makes it all the more just gut-wrenching, these two people that still sort of want to be together, but sort of can't be together. Just really bittersweet sort of breakup song, and it will punch you in the feels so hard. And also, on Hearts of Stone album, you get Talk to Me, which is the other song that Southside Johnny covered that was an outtake, yet again, from Darkness on the Edge of Town. You can find this on the Promise box set as well. And it's really good. I mean, I think in this case I might actually prefer the Southside Johnny version. They're both really good. And also, I have a slight bone to pick. I have the book, which is a Bruce Springsteen, all the songs, the story behind every track. And I'm pretty sure they made a mistake, because they tried to say that on the promise version of Talk to Me, that starting around like the 3.5 minute mark, I think it was 3.5, maybe it was 4.5 minute mark, Southside Johnny does some answering vocals to Bruce. So for, I listened to that track, and I'm 90% sure that it's Stevie Van Zandt singing. The vocals are, just sound too rough and, not rough, but they sound like Stevie. They don't sound smoother like Johnny's are. I'm not saying Southside Johnny's vocals are always perfectly smooth, but compared to Stevie's, there is a difference, and this sounds like Stevie's, which makes the second time this week that my dude, little Steven, has been snubbed, because when I was researching this, I was looking at, like, top 10 Southside Johnny songs. This one, I wanted to find this dude and egg his car. That's how upset I was at this slight, because what happened is that they listed I Don't Want to Go Home. And they said it was the first of many songs given to Southside Johnny by Bruce Springsteen. And I was like, by who? Everybody who has ever listened to a 70s concert of the E Street Band knows that this is the man who brought you such great hits as I Don't Wanna Go Home, Sweeter Than Honey, This Time It's For Real, Daddy's Coming Home, Some Things Just Don't Change, Miami, Steve Van Zandt, not Bruce Springsteen. No offense against Bruce, but Bruce did not write I Don't Wanna Go Home. I Don't Wanna Go Home was not a Bruce track. And I can't believe that somebody who knows Southside Johnny enough to make a top 10 list for him would make such an egregious error, and infuriated me more than it probably should. I was like, that is a Stevie song! I'm gonna find you, and I'm gonna, like, make you change the article, sir. I was somewhat vindicated that the only comment on the article was somebody going, I Don't Want to Go Home was written by Stevie Van Zandt. I was like, thank you, I'm not the only one who's taking exception to this misappropriation of this song by some dude writing a top 10 list. I think it was on, like, classicrock.com, too. It wasn't totally obscure, and I'm like, you have a job? And you're making mistakes like this? Like, I get making some sort of, you know, minor mistake. Especially if a song was co-written, which I Don't Want to Go Home was not co-written. I'm like, this is like saying, I was trying to compare this to my friends. I was like, it'd be like saying that George Harrison wrote Octopus's Garden. Anybody who knows enough to know Octopus's Garden knows that it's not a George Harrison song. And most people know it is a Ringo Starr song. And this was the equivalent level of egregious information error. So, I've had to deal with two discrediting of Stevie's happening this week in my research. Number one being the I Don't Want to Go Home one, and number two being I'm pretty sure that's Stevie on the promise version of Talk to Me, not Southside Johnny. For one, if it is Southside is on it, he is uncredited. Stevie is credited, and it sounds like Stevie Van Zandt's voice. So, that rant over, literally, because I have come to the end of my list of very niche outtakes that other people covered. And you can see from it that some of Bruce's highest charting songs were not recorded by Bruce. They were recorded by other people. Like I said, the highest charting, of course, would be Manfred Mann's Blinded by the Light, which was an outright cover and not an outtake. Of course, with as little as people of the mainstream world listen to Greetings from Asbury Park, most people would, like, view that album the same way they would an outtake, because they're like, I've never heard any of these songs. And I'm like, go listen to classic Bruce. Early Bruce. Pre-Born to Run Bruce is worth the listen. I love some of those songs. Especially off of Wild and the Innocent. But I love For You, and yet another really feelsy song that gets you in the gut is, I can't think of it. I have it playing in my head, but I can't think of the actual song title. Let's see. What about Ragamuffin Gunner? Returning home like a hungry runaway. I will think of the song title after I finish this, and then I will feel very silly. But it's a... Oh, Lost in the Flood! There we go! Brain had to process. So yeah. Listen to some Greetings from Asbury Park. Check out the playlist that I'll put in the description to this video, so you can check out all the songs that I mentioned. I include the live versions of The Fever and Because of the Night, as well as the studio outtake versions from Tracks and The Promise. I've got the Patti Smith and the 10,000 Maniacs covers of that song. The cover of Fire by the Pointer Sisters. I need to actually include their cover of The Fever, because I forgot they did The Fever too. So that way you can have all of your Bruce songs in their variety of formats, and you may have heard the other artists and not heard the Bruce versions, in which case I hope you enjoy. And I hope you enjoyed this ramble. Feel free to share and follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Facebook is where I share links to things, because Instagram's not super link-friendly. The pages are at Ramble On With Rosie on Instagram, and just Ramble On With Rosie Facebook page. You can also search it through at Ramble On With Rosie, all one word, and it will come up. And I hope you subscribe if you're enjoying the content that you're seeing. And I look forward to providing more, and I promise, Scout's Honor, I do talk about more than just Bruce Springsteen. I'm working on ideas for episodes about people like David Lindley and the Moody Blues, and I will inevitably end up talking your ear off about Paul Rodgers at some point, because he's one of my favorite vocalists. So, on that note, y'all have a great week. Vote for Stevie! Seriously, go vote for this man. He's the coolest. He's not just the voice of America, he's the voice of awesomeness. So go vote for Mr. Awesome, Mr. Van Zandt. Also, if you have any interest in Stevie, his book, Unrequited Infatuations, is out for pre-order. It doesn't come out officially, you know, where you can get your hard copy, until I think September or October. And if you order it through Backstreets.com, at least for now, I don't know if it'll always be this way, but for a limited time, it will be signed edition, signed as his old 70s moniker of Miami Steve. So I'm really excited about that. I've pre-ordered mine, and so is my best friend. And so y'all go get yours, and you can understand to a fuller degree after reading it why this man is so awesome. In the meantime, vote for him, have a great week, be kind to each other, and I will see you next week.